For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for March 26th, 2008. Thanks for listening. In this edition, we'll hear from IBM Rational's Director of Security, Danny Allen. Danny will talk about the latest Web 2.0 threats and how WatchFire will contribute to IBM software development. Also the news, Microsoft warns of an actively exploited flaw in Word, and NAC vendor Lockdown Network shuts its doors. Senior news writer Bill Brenner will discuss it. First, the news. Microsoft said it could release an out-of-band patch to plug a hole in its Jet database engine. It's issuing a warning about active attacks on the flaw affecting users of Microsoft Word. In order for the vulnerability to be exploited, users would have to click on a link in an email message to navigate to a malicious website that contains a specially crafted Word file. As a temporary workaround, customers can restrict the Microsoft Jet database engine from running, and administrators can also block Microsoft database files from being processed through mail systems. Next, my interview with IBM's Danny Allen, but first, this message.
Think the information security threats landscape isn't changing? Wrong. Attackers have moved away from annoyances like email viruses and network worms. Instead, malicious hackers are using dangerous new custom rootkits, trojans, and other malware designed to evade traditional defenses. But all is not lost. Get exclusive hacker insights from CertSecurity.com's Intrusion Defense School. SANS instructor Lenny Zeltzer explains how to thwart this year's challenging new set of security threats. Don't be the next victim. Check out Lenny Zeltzer's exclusive lesson today at searchsecurity.com/intrusion defense. That's searchsecurity.com/intrusion defense.
And we're back. Danny Allen has been research director at penetration vendor WatchFire. The company was acquired last year by IBM, and it's since been integrated into IBM's Rational Security Division. In his interview, Allen talks about the integration and future Web 2.0 threats and why attackers are still actively exploiting Web 1.0 flaws. Danny, I know the WatchFire's research group, you actually headed that. And talk about the makeup of that research group and how that's changed since it's been integrated into IBM's Rational Division, or maybe it hasn't changed much.
So the research group at the IBM Rational, or the WatchFire Security Research Group, has not changed very much. When I say that, we continue to do probably about 50% of our time is spent on academic research, new ways to break things, essentially. And those new ways to break things end up, of course, in the AppScan product family. We also spend maybe 35% of our time doing penetration testing. And again, the techniques that we use manually feed into our automated security solution set. And then maybe about 15% of our time or so on kind of the forensic follow-up after events to figure out why they happened. And again, looking at the techniques, not that we ourselves are using, but the malicious users are performing, and integrating that into the AppScan product set. Now, what has changed a little bit since the acquisition is that, as you might imagine, in the security world, there is security issues that cross a broad domain of areas. And we had a number of issues in the hopper that had to do with web applications. We had some that had to do with networks, some that had to do with host. And what has happened since the acquisition is that we collaborate very closely with the X-Force team from IBM ISS, and we have passed off some of the network and host-based research that we had in the hopper to them. And in reverse, they have handed off to us some of the web application security research that they had in their hopper. So where we have gained focus, I guess since the acquisition, we have gained considerable focus at looking specifically at web applications and AJAX and Web 2.0 technologies.
Let's get right into some of the challenges facing web applications software. The whole march towards a service-oriented architecture. Companies, whether or not they like it, web services are being introduced into their environments. Web applications are being used more and more.
That is absolutely the case. People are moving to more the thin client architecture because, of course, it gives them greater distribution. And at the same time, attackers are focusing on that. Now, organizations we see are focusing on Web 2.0 and web-based technologies primarily because of four factors. The first is social demands. There's demands on the organization for more collaboration. Everyone is both a producer and a consumer. And so the ability to socially collaborate is a driving factor for organizations. We also see a driving factor, number two, in market pressure. On the business-to-business front, there is demands, for example, if I was hosting a real estate application, there's demands on the clients to integrate that with mapping technology. There's also the competitive edge. If my competitor is giving a very rich interactive interface, then I need to keep up with that same experience or I can lose my clients to a competitor. And then lastly, fourthly driving factor here is the technologies. We now have these new, very rich interactive frameworks to provide an experience through the browser and across the internet very much like the desktop experience, which has been so dynamic but not available to us in the past.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the threats out there. Cross-site scripting attacks, SQL injection, they seem to be the top threats, so to speak.
Yeah, so the traditional attacks still play up very strongly, and we have seen tremendous growth, as you mentioned, in, I would say, two areas specifically, especially cross-site scripting and cross-site request forgery have both kind of exploded with the Web 2.0 world. And that's because, of course, Web 2.0 and AJAX rich internet applications require JavaScript to be turned on, which in turn means that, cross-site scripting becomes a much more viable, threat. SQL injection still is again, an old attack that's been around for many, many years, but it's being revived with new life because of the way that Web 2.0 applications are being deployed. That is, before you had kind of large, single, controllable transactions. I would go to a page and I would enter, I'm on my banking website and enter from account to account and a dollar amount and press go. And in a single transaction, it would go off and do a whole bunch of things in the background, like, does the from account exist? Do I own it? Does the to account exist? Do I own it? Is a dollar there? In Web 2.0, what has happened is that attack surface is very much fragmented. Instead of a single transaction, that might be three or four asynchronous transactions, one after another. And so the application receives input in many different places, and of course it's interacting with the database, and that leads to SQL injection vulnerabilities and all kinds of other vulnerabilities associated with a more fragmented attack surface.
What's the risk, though, of these threats? It sounds like it would take a really sophisticated attacker to exploit these.
At the beginning of any kind of era, if you want to call this the Web 2.0 era, it does take the skilled attacker to put together a complex and sophisticated attack kit. But what happens over time is these packages are produced and distributed on malware sites and on kind of the underground of chat rooms and things. And so that what they call script kiddies pick them up over time. So the barrier to entry becomes very much less and less over time. But one thing that we can't forget, we talk about, you know, all these vulnerabilities in Web 2.0. The attackers are not focusing on, we're not seeing it anyway, in exploitation. We're not seeing the data breaches focused on Web 2.0 right now because there's so many problems in the original kind of Web 1.0 world without AJAX and without JSON and these new SOAP and REST and XML remote procedure calls and the new kind of world of Web 2.0. We're still seeing the attacks against Web 1.0 because it is so porous from an attacker point of view.
And so at least for now, the bad guys are having a lot of fun in the 1.0 world, and they haven't even gotten to 2.0 at this point yet.
That's correct. If my mother is still willing to respond to an email and give out her banking information, there's no need for them to take more time to develop a very complex exploit kit. Now, as those lower-level attacks become closed off and organizations become more aware, there is no doubt at all in my mind that the attackers will move and shift towards the Web 2.0 type attacks. And now is the time to address it.
And finally this week, network access control vendor Lockdown Networks quietly ceased operations. The vendor put a note on its website explaining that it would be shutting its doors. And questions remain about how its current customers will get support for products they've installed. With me to discuss this is Bill Brenner, who wrote about Lockdown Networks' demise. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Bill, what are analysts saying about the latest development here in the NAC market?
Well, they're not particularly surprised about what happened to Lockdown, since they have been saying for quite a while that the NAC market is going to be seeing some shaking out because it's become very saturated. A couple of years ago, based on the conventional wisdom that every enterprise would want NAC technology, all of these vendors started popping up, but the demand hasn't reached the expectations.
We just recently saw Vernier Networks actually change its strategy, right?
They did. They actually changed their name and their strategy to push away from the NAC emphasis that they had. But the big issue with Lockdown that analysts are talking about is how worried customers ought to be who use the technology, because right now they have no idea who is going to come in to fill the vacuum and support the technology.
This actually feeds into the mantra that some larger vendors say, which is, you know, you choose a niche vendor and you're going to take on that particular risk, right?
There's no question. And that's why the big fish like Microsoft and Cisco really stand to clean up on the NAC side, because people are going to be more comfortable going to the giants for this kind of technology, because the likelihood that one day Cisco or Microsoft will be shuttered and there'll be no support for the product is, you know, the probability may not be zero, but it's pretty close to that.
Well, Bill, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
Lockdown said it's contacting customers and partners directly, and certain employees have been retained to oversee the shutdown of the company and entertain offers of its intellectual property. Well, that ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. You can check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.